Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Ezra. We're in the book of Ezra, chapter 9. So, we kind of left off last week, and I don't want to say left off, but we finished where we were last week. And so we see now that Ezra has arrived. He brought this great load of treasure, right? Tons of gold and silver and all this stuff. They made the offerings, right? The sacrifices. They secured their authority to build, right? And they received the assistance of the government. So after all that, in all that, you know, so now the hand of God, the blessing of God, the faithfulness of God was clear, right? And so what we're going to find, though, as often as these things, there's a problem. There's a problem. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now when these things were done," all the things I just talked about, "the princes came to me." This is Ezra writing in first person now. "The princes came to me, saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians." Why don't they get an ite, right? Anyhow. "And the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass." Let's go, Lord, in prayer as we get started tonight. Father, we're thankful for your word, and Lord, I pray as we look into this chapter and this point of the history of the nation of Israel, Lord, we might see your desire, and Lord, we might see the process of revival, and might see what that looks like and what it's looked like in your word with your people. And Lord, I pray that you'd use your word to encourage us, to help us, to direct us, to exhort us. And Father, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Number one, there is a problem in the congregation. One of the very important aspects that God wanted his people to understand is that they were to be distinct. Okay? They were to be a distinct people, separated from the ways of the heathen, pagan people from whom God was removing from before them. Okay? He specifically wanted them to be distinct from them. They're meant to be different. They're meant to be separated from them. They weren't meant to just be another group of people going in and taking over doing what another group of people did. Right? So I want you to keep your place here, if you would, and turn with me over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. I want us to go back and look at this a little bit, of what God had told his people on this subject many, many years ago. When I say many years ago, I'm talking about 1,000 years before this portion of history. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9. He says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." It says, the Lord knows us, doesn't he? Well, no, it wasn't a wizard, it was a necromancer. right? No, it wasn't a wizard or a necromancer, it was a witch. So I didn't, God said, let me just hit all of them, right? Let me just hit all of them because this is the way we do. This is the way we are. Well, the Bible doesn't say I'm not supposed to, right? And this kind of, we so much miss the spirit. It's like, no wonder the word of the Old Testament has so many laws, right? Because we want to just go from thing to thing to thing, and we're like, well, the Bible doesn't say I can't do that. You're like, oh, come on. Listen, the Lord is trying to deal with this in spirit, right? And so He does this thing. And verse 12, for all that do these things are what? Abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect. Watch this. What's that next word? Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. It's a little bit of a different... He didn't say you're to be perfect in. You're to be perfect. He said you're to be perfect with the Lord. Listen, they were not to follow the ways of the heathen who sought out false idols to meet their needs. See? They were looking, man, I'll tell you, if you've been around people or if you've been around nations, you've been in these locations where people are seeking to find something to help them. You see, when I was in Louisiana, there's a lot of Catholicism there, so they'll put in their dash is it St. Christopher or one of these saints, they put in their dash to... He's the saint of travel, I think is what it is. So put him in. It's like a good luck charm, right? You get others, they'll put this thing or they'll put that thing or they'll wear, right? It's knock on wood, right? Let's pinch a pinch of salt. Yeah, y'all know. Pinch of salt over your, or is it the other way? I don't know. And so there's these things we look for. Ooh, God, I keep in my pocket a lucky clover, a four-leaf clover, or these kind of things. And so all these kind of things, what we're looking for is something else to give us this edge, right? To give us this way. And I say us. I'm not talking about necessarily us here in this place, but I mean people, right? Looking for these things. They're always trying to find out some different thing that'll give me some benefit. Can I say it this way? Just in what? Just in case. Just in case. And the Lord said that they were to be perfect with Him. In other words, God said, I want you to realize that I am all you need. So I'm all you need. Don't go to this one. Don't go to this one. Don't go to these. Don't go to that thing. Don't go to these enchanters. Don't go to these that look for the observers of times and these that look for all these things. And listen, be confident. Be perfect with me. By the way, it started at the beginning. He said, don't put your children, your sons or your daughters through the fire. This was another way to reach their gods. Could you imagine what kind of the humanity that would take their newborn baby and take this little baby in swaddling clothes and put that thing in a molten iron statue to burn to death and scream. And you're like, and just thank God, please, help me to have good crops. I don't know what you, strange things. And God said, listen, you're to be different than them. I want you to be different from that. You don't go to all these things. You're going to be perfect with me. They were to seek Him and Him alone. There was not to be a mixing of ways. Okay? They were to be different than the people of the land before them. Turn now over to Leviticus. Turn back to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. We'll see the Lord talking about it again over here in a little bit different situation. But same thing, same point, but just talking about a little different, some different things. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be what? For I, the Lord your God, am holy. Right? So he said this. They were to be like him. They were to be like him. They weren't to be like those people that were already there that God was removing. They were to be different. You're not to be like them. You're to be like me. Be holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. Listen, they were to be different than the people of the land before them. And so the heathen people had ways that God's people were not to follow. Look at verse 23. Drop down. We're in Leviticus 19, verse 23. He says, "And when ye shall come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth year, all the fruit that thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord withal. And then in the fifth year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God." Wow. So this is it. He said there was to be a purposeful distinction. So when I say purposeful, what I mean is God said, "I want you to think about this process." What was once unholy needed to be purified. Okay? So there was given a time that the fruit of the earth was to be separated. Even you're going to grow some fruit here, 3 years, it's no good. It's as uncircumcised, it's as heathen, it's as defiled, it's as not able to be in my sight. For 3 years you don't look at it. The fourth year, you can offer it unto me. The fifth year, now you can eat it. Well, what was that all about? What year are we on, Dad? Now we're on year three. We got a couple more years, man, because that's looking good. Said, no, it's not ours yet. It looks good. Well, it looks good, but it ain't. Fourth year, they get it, so there's this whole thing. And look at verse 26 then. It says, "You shall not eat anything with the blood. Neither shall ye use enchantment, nor observe times. You shall not round the corners of your heads. Neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." Look, the heathen pagans had all types of behaviors that were emblematic of their relationship with the false idols, the false gods. They things that they did, the behaviors, they had customs that they did that would identify them as part of this thing. And so they used all these things to grant favor and attention with their gods. They either wanted to get their god's attention or they wanted to avoid attention from the god, whatever the case may be. They would consume blood. Imagine a blood ritual where you would drink some blood. He said, that's just disgusting, but you can kind of see it where that's something that people... And he said, listen, when you go in the land, don't eat the blood. Don't do that. Not only is it gross, imagine, I never tried it, but he said it's a picture of something that they did. He said, don't do that. They would make the appearance of their hair to be identified with their cult. It's a way that they did it that would identify them in different times and different places and how they would do it. He said, don't do like them is what he's saying. Don't take their hairstyles. Don't do the things that they do. Don't trim this and cut that. Of course, then the Jews went so far that they're like, okay, now we'll have this beard and these dreadlocks and these things. All the, so they said, okay, we can do nothing like that, so we're going to kind of have our own ridiculousness, right? The ascetic Jews, they kind of did something else and said, oh, because there's, you know, but here's what God was saying. Don't do like those people. We're to be different. We're to be separate from them. There was many of them, they would cut emblems and designs in their flesh. Sometimes it was a show of suffering. You know, they would cut themselves up to show their suffering for the God. We think about Elijah at Mount Carmel, I think is that what it was, and he was there, and they all those who were up there worshiping, they're cutting themselves and bleeding out to try to call their gods to come down there, and it didn't work, did it? And so this is what they would do. They would cut emblems, and sometimes it showed a suffering. Other times it was to mark them as a member of their cult. See, they had a certain marking. People still do that today in way of gangs and different things like this. They have some kind of cuttings that they'll do, actually marking up their arms or different things to designate or to demonstrate that I'm a member of this cult or this gang or this group or whatever. Other times they would print into their skin designs, emblems, symbols. I read a lot. There's a lot in the Egyptian days. There's flowers and different kind of things. We're seeing a lot of that coming back today. A lot of those same things, all in the way of identifying with the cultic ways. And that's what they were doing, and that's what they were doing in the land. And listen, the problem with much of it is that it was all permanent. You didn't cut some markings into your skin to identify with a culture, be a part of it, and then later say, you know what, I'm going to come out of that. And you know what's going to amputate your arm? Right? There were things that was going on with that. And so they took what God had created in them and disfigured it to identify with something other than what God had made. Right? They were literally marring the creation of God. It was a way for man to realign himself with this cult. He said, listen, God said, don't do it. Don't do like they do. I am the Lord. I'm enough for you. You don't need that other stuff. So what was the problem with these things in and of themselves? I mean, it's not like everyone that was doing these things and to worship idols. It just, for many, probably as time went on, and maybe even Israel during different times, it just became the popular thing. Cultural. Well, you ever been a kid and you said to your parents, well, all my friends are doing it, right? What does mom say to you? Do y'all remember that one? What does mom say? Well, if all your friends do what? Jump off a bridge, are you going to jump off too? And I would say, yeah, because I was a punk. But this is the thing. Sometimes we just do something because it's popular. So, well, you know, everybody's not, you know, it's, you know, you think everybody that does markings and all this is trying to reject God and do that. I think what many people do it for different reasons that are not intended to identify with idols. Okay. But how many here in this room tonight think that God is more interested in our intentions than our obedience? Well, God's, well, you know, it's fine. As long as you intend it that way, go hang out with the heathens, the pagans. Do like them. Nowhere would we kind of get this idea that God would say, well, you know, intentions are... No. Listen, look. The problem is that God had intended this space of separation so that his people would be clearly and distinctly separate from the heathens. On purpose. When there's not a place of separation, even God's people will drift closer and closer and closer to a heathen lifestyle. No. I'm still worshiping God. No, I love God. God is enough for me. I'm perfect with Him. I just, you know, the world's having fun with these things, and I just think it's cute. Could you imagine God saying, "Don't do it, don't do it," and you're like, "Yeah, God, but I just think it's cute, so I'm going to do it anyway." And God said, "Oh, you think it's cute? Well, that's fine then, right?" See what I'm saying? See how sometimes we just need to kind of get in our head a little bit where God was dealing with His people. So what started as a simple, listen, let me say this first before I get to that. It'll not be too far down the road that God's people will be doing every last thing that the heathen is doing. Matter of fact, we won't be able to distinguish them at all. They're not distinct at all. They look the same. They speak the same. They do the same things. They listen to the same music. Well, yeah, but in our music, we talk about God. We throw God in. I remember when we first got saved, got in church, and you know, I began to be convicted about our music. Because before that, we were back in the day of CD libraries. I mean, we had some CDs, just piles of them. And so we began to get convicted about our music. Like, you know, I think we should just listen to music from people that praise the Lord. So we went through every cover. Y'all remember jacket covers? You know, you open them up and they'd have some things and the artists, and they would say different things. If anywhere on any of them would say they would praise God, anywhere in there, it was a keeper. If they didn't, it was a goer. So we kind of went through and separated them. And we separated probably a lot of them. A lot of them went discard. And so we had these. And so now anybody that said praise the Lord in there at all, I mean, you know, I want to thank God for this. You know, so, and then it wasn't too long down the road we realized, you know, they're thanking God with one side of their mouth, but they're praising sin, they're glorifying in sin on the other. So, you know, so we got to a place where it's like, you know, if it's not Christian music, we're going to get rid of that. And then we still had this pile of Christian music CDs. Well, Christian music CDs, right? And then we realized, well, if they look like, there was a thing, and I was a youth pastor for a little while, and I would, something that came upon, we'd go to the Christian bookstore all the time. Remember those things? Anyway, went to the Christian bookstore, and we'd go in there, there'd be this advertisement for a Christian concert. But you could have said, you could have took out Christian and put rock, and it would have been the same picture. And I remember thinking, so we did some of these videos, we had some of these videos, and if you would play the video and turn it on mute, you could play a rock and roll station with it, and it would look like it's the same people. And I said, so then we narrowed down that. I think we were down to like a half a CD left. I mean, we had to start over. It just really did, and we had a lot. I mean, we had a lot. That was, you know, in the 90s. There was a lot of CDs. Everything. We didn't have this MP3 player stuff yet. It's not too far down the road that God's people will be doing everything that the heathen is doing when we start going down a road that just says, listen, it's just a lifestyle. It's just, you know, it's cute. I like doing those things. It's fun. So what started as a simple placating of friends and neighbors and maybe a family ended up becoming our way of life and our new worldview. Soon, down that road, there's no more following after God at all. Or what comes out of the mouth as, yeah, I'm following after God, the lifestyle looks nothing like that. People I know, the good, and I don't want to get into this too much, folks, because I want to give liberty for people to choose to please God. I don't want to set the code and everybody just follow me. But I want to say this, there's this people that good, godly people, just, and I'm telling you, people that just God has used in my life, and I'm staying in some very challenging places God used them in my life to encourage me, and I'm so thankful for that. And you see down the road, it's what happens a little by little, it says, you know, it's not that big a deal. It's just that thing. And next thing you know, you look at somebody down here and you look at their picture on social media. And if you didn't know who they were, you wouldn't know who they were. You would think they are not somebody that loves the Lord at all. They look exactly like, and if I just use this word of today, the heathen of the world, those that live without Christ. Right? You say, wow, and this is the way the process works. Soon there's no more following God at all. Which brings us back to Ezra. Let's go back to Ezra now. Ezra chapter 9 again, verse 1. Let's start over there again. Like we haven't got anywhere yet, I know. Now when these things were done, Ezra chapter 9, verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests And the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even to the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. So point number two is this, repeating the cycle. Here we are, not 20 years after the release from captivity. And the whole nation, or the nation as a whole, let's say, I'm sure that you were going to see there were some, had plummeted back into the very same situation that brought them to captivity in the first place. I would imagine it was just one step at a time. It's not that big a deal. Right? Even the leaders have been the chief in this trespass. Even they had desired, they followed, and likely these leaders had promoted this. So this is what we do at times. We promote this to the rest by saying, hey, I want to do it because I think it's cute. Or I think it's no big deal. Or I want to wear skinny jeans. I do not want to wear skinny jeans, by the way. But we'll do that thing, and we want to do that. We say it's not a big deal. And then for me to justify me being there, it's fine if you do. Right? Some of y'all thinking, you couldn't wear skinny jeans. You're probably right. I've never been in slims. I'll just tell you that right now. Mostly husky. So I'm just saying, so what we do is we do this. And so by doing it, we then almost all but convince the people that, yeah, it's fine. And so they lead the people into that way. Listen, folks, we might say today, well, those things in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy and even here in Ezra, they're not important today. We're living in the day of grace. You know, in the day of grace, we get to just do whatever we want to do. Right? It's to completely misunderstand and to mischaracterize the person of God. It's to say, what God thought was really important back there, He doesn't care about today. Because God changes, right? No. So, sure, listen, we don't have a list of laws that determine our relationship with God. But we have even more. We have a Savior who's died for us. Given us truth. Provided us a way, you see? A way and provided us His Spirit to indwell us. We don't need the law because now the law is written on our hearts. We don't have less obligation to be distinct from the world. We have more. Don't think for a moment that God is not still interested in holiness. God is still interested in holiness. I guarantee you, God's still interested in holiness. You know, I want you to see something important here. And it's this. As soon as revival began in the land, and I'm talking about they got there, they came back, the temple is completed, their offerings are being made, God has opened the door for them to be legally do these things and to have the help of the... I mean, just revival has taken place. Things are going exactly. As soon as the place of revival began, some excitement... Like, wow, this is, now we're back to the place where God is blessing us as a nation. He has put His hand, He's put His token on it. He said, listen, I am for you. I'm with you. I want to remind you. And He gave the prophets that He told them. He said, listen, this is what I want you to do. As soon as that came and they realized it, their leadership came to Ezra and confessed. We've done wrong. Can I tell you, this is what revival brings. Revival brings confession. Revival brings the place that's... By the way, revival doesn't just bring repentance to you. It brings repentance to as a body, as a congregation, as a people. It says, wow, God is so real. I just want to tell you, Ezra, we've done wrong. And even us as leaders, we've done wrong. They didn't even they didn't try to pretend like it was okay. See? So what did Ezra think about this? Look at verse 3. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down a stoning. I want you to try to get this sense of Ezra. Just what? Unbelievable. And he just sat down. And he ripped up his clothes and pulled out his hair. I know that's weird. But and then that's how, and he just sat there. Ezra may have heard that there were some issues. And I believe he did hear there were some issues, because I believe when he came, the king had said something led to that. But nothing that could have prepared him to learn that the people had done the unthinkable. They had completely disregarded God's way. It's, have you seen somebody get saved? So excited about what God has done in their life. Yes! What God has done in my life, He set me free from the burden of my sin. God is, and they're just like at every service. I mean, it's just so rich, so powerful, so real, so exciting. Wow, what God has meant for me. And then, sometimes it's not long down the road, they go right back. And Ezra's here thinking, wow. They've now done this, can I say this, permanent damage. Seemingly unreversible direction for the work and purpose of God. How could they be a light of the gospel, of the goodness, of the greatness of God to the whole world to demonstrate the power and greatness of God? How could they do that when they're back to becoming just like the rest of the people? So there's a, and I don't want to say it's a new thing, but there's this ongoing thing that says we need to get to the people's level. We need to be just like them. I had a fellow one time, he said, you know, I like to go out to the smoke shack, because when I go out to the smoke shack, I can get with all the people and I can talk to them about the Lord. Really? Is that's your ministry? The smoke shack ministry. Can I tell you, he never brought anybody to church. He never told, I never heard him tell me a story about sharing the gospel with anybody. It was just them straight and listen. We can get this concept. Listen, what we should do is we should run around in the pulpit in t-shirts and blue jeans and flip-flops and just let the people know we're just right where you're at. Right? Because that's really what we find God wanting us to be. We want to be just like the rest of the people. He said, well, do you think wearing a suit makes you more holy? Absolutely. No. But I think what it says is I care about God. I want to be, you know what I want to do? I want to be distinct. So you think somebody needs to wear a tie to be holy? No. Absolutely not. But I think if I'm gonna come and stand before God's people and bring God's word, I want to make myself uncomfortable with a necktie. Amen. Y'all know what I mean. Y'all know what I mean. Uncomfortable. Just choke myself out so I can say it's important to God. I want to be distinct. And so it doesn't mean I'm going to walk around every day with a matter of fact, right here is where I wear this. And I have to. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to say it in a way to say, listen, there's. I'm not saying what makes us holy, but there ought to be something that makes us different. And they had done this thing. And how are they gonna now be what God wants them to be? But God didn't set them apart just because they were just such a great people. They were a person living in a pagan land. Look at verse 4 with me now. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. There were others that did care. They were interested in the holiness of God, and the Word of God was, can I say it this way? The Word of God was more important to them than the society, than what society said. You know, fear of God came, the fear of the Word of God. Do we seriously believe that God will do what He says He's going to do? Yeah, that's why we're here tonight. Amen. This is our Sunday night. This is our lowest attended service of the week. You know, this is the people that you're like, man, is he preaching? No, I'm just preaching because it's where we're at. Hey, listen, sometimes it's like Solomon. Sometimes we're given something so we have something to give. We need to receive so we have something to pass out. And listen, it doesn't always have to be like, yeah, I'm a terrible person. No, sometimes it's just we need to see this is what God wants. And man, it is worth it. It is worth it. So there was others that cared. They were interested. These all came. Those that were interested, they came and they burned about this transgression and they gathered around Ezra, who just sat there astonished about the situation until the evening sacrifice. Just sat there. Man, I'll tell you what. Wouldn't you hate to have been that one to come up and say, Ezra, I got to tell you. We have transgressed. And here's what we did. We've done like all the people of the land. Like we've done like all of them. And we've given our sons to them, we've taken their daughters. We have just intermingled with the people. And Ezra, could you just for a moment see his countenance change? Ezra, like, wow, we're here, sacrifice, God's glory, praise the Lord, and then this comes, and it's like, I don't think he was mad. I don't think he was mad. I think he was just completely dejected. He's there, and this group comes. It says, and they just come, and what do you say? They just gathered around him. He's there to have an evening sacrifice. You ever heard some news that was so overwhelming you couldn't even respond to it? I don't mean the kind of news that you like. If I say anything now, I'm gonna lose my testimony. I don't mean that kind of, but just so overwhelming. You just sat there astonished, perplexed. I try to imagine, I don't know what was going on in his head, but I imagine he was trying to think about what could be done. And I imagine Ezra was somebody that feared God and followed and knew the Word of God. He was a scribe of the Word of God. I imagine this, he was sitting there thinking, I'm just try to imagine, maybe he's sitting there thinking, what does the Word of God say about this? What can we do? Thinking through it, just, and then every now and then the heaviness would come back on, just there till the evening. Look at verse 5. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. You know, during that time, Ezra was too overwhelmed to even take it to the Lord until now. It's just too much. So then he came, he'd come in shame. He's ashamed. The sin, he said, the sin is over our heads. We're drowned in this thing. Verse 7. Here's his prayer. He said, since the days of our fathers, we have been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities, we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the land, to the sword, to the captivity, and to the spoil, and to the confusion of faith, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. He said, wow, we've been so terrible, but you've given us a little space to once again see some revival. Verse 9, he says, For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us to our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants to the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve and hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. This is what sin should cause us to say. We as a whole have chosen to go right back into the sin which you delivered this land from. You've been so gracious to deliver us from the bondage of our sin. God's been so gracious. Lord, we're not worthy to come before you. You know, when we realize where we are as a people, humanity, and even as a nation, maybe even as a church, as a family or as a church, whatever unit you want to think about, we got to look and say, you know, Ezra wasn't even there, folks. He wasn't even there yet. He just got there. But he took the ownership of this together with him. It ought to bring us to a place that said, God's going to, we don't even deserve this. He's seen God who he is and seen him who he was. There was a young preacher that had what he thought to be a great and powerful message to preach. So when the pastor invited him to come up to speak, he came forward with great enthusiasm, with vigor and excitement to give this awesome message. As he preached that message, it fell quite flat, not connecting with the people at all. He came down off the platform humbled, feeling unworthy for the role that he had just performed. The pastor later on spoke to him and said this. He said, if you would have went up like you came down, you'd have came down like you went up. Folks, our greatest form will be when we come before the Lord in fear. Seeing Him as holy and me as needing to be more like Him. But that's going to take me being less like me. I like me. I like the skin I'm living in. I got used to me. You know what I mean? And the idea of me being less me, I think I'm pretty good. Right? This is, God said, if the Apostle Paul says, not that I had apprehended. The Apostle Paul hadn't apprehended. He hadn't got there yet. Can I promise you this here, this evening? Ain't none of us got there yet either. Still something God wants to do in your life. You say, wow, God's, man, how long is God going to work on me? Oh, man. I'll tell you, you're next to Him. So, are we willing to separate from this world so that we might be able to stand before the Lord? Folks, I'm talking to a Sunday night crowd. Folks are here because you want to be, you desire from this. This isn't meant to, hurt us, right? Beat up on us. I don't want to be a preacher that beats up on people, but I do want to be a preacher that preaches the Word of God. You got to bring us to something that, and there's times that we see revival ought to stir us to something, and sometimes revival is less about the excitement and more about exposing what's really left for us to work on. When we see God begin to work, and I think we're seeing God work in our midst. Would I like to see more? Yeah, I would. We've got three people lined up wanting to get baptized. We see last Wednesday night, the young lady got saved. I mean, we're seeing others that are just right there. I mean, God is doing, we're seeing visitors come and people coming in. And, I want to be a part of this, what's going on here. And God's, but I'm telling you, I've seen that before. I've seen it before. And the excitement, just as when they came into, it's exciting what God's doing. But excitement doesn't say, we're great. That's why God's blessed it. No. God said, you're decently situated for me to use you. Isn't that kind of, that's just the best we can get sometimes. We're decently, I'm thankful that I can get decently situated for God to use me. But God said, if we're going to really do what I want you to do, I want this to be a great time for you to examine your heart. Because if we can be decently situated for God to use us. By the way, using us isn't us just being greater people. It's being used to see other people come in. I'm telling you, folks, there's people that have come here that were dead in their trespasses and sins that now are on their way to heaven. But now have forgiveness of their sin and have a hope. Can you imagine that God would use us? Isn't that amazing? And that's just us getting decently situated. God said, now it's time for us to see that there's even more that you can do. But how will we personally? By the way, it's not how we can get other people to separate. Lord, what would thou hast me to do? Let's all stand together. Father, I do pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord. What a magnificent situation you brought before your people. Lord, as we have studied through this period of history, it's just amazing to see your hand, your direction, your movement, your blessing, your encouragement. Lord, you're so much more than we deserve. And Lord, you've given us this picture, this example. You've given these illustrations for our in samples that we might see where they failed and see where they've also made some good choices, and repentance and revival is right there. Lord, I pray that you would do in our hearts that which we need. And Lord, maybe even tonight we're not exactly sure. Or maybe tonight would be a time to say, God, just search me. Just see what's in my life. And maybe tonight, Lord, would be a time that some folks would just say, God, I want to be used by you to see this community reached for Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to start with me. Number 293.
Have you longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed? But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Amen. Amen. I hate to see trouble, but I love to see repentance. There's times that I'd rather see trouble with repentance than lukewarmness just continue on. And I think God would too. Amen. It's been a good day. House of the Lord, if you're able to come and help us set up back there, we clean up and set up back there. I appreciate it. And let's dismiss. Amen.